start a family. You know, people go, well, you know, we're having children. Maybe we need to think about church. And they will begin to look for a place to go. And so some are drawn at that point. Some were invited by a loving Christian to study with them. And that is truly one of the most loving acts that a Christian can ever do. Others were converted by trying to prove the Bible wrong. I knew a man who was only studying with me so he could try to argue with me, prove me wrong, and yet at the end, it was not nearly what I did, but what he did in trying to prove me wrong that ended up leading him to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, in the end, it doesn't matter what led you to come to Christ. It only matters that you did. And that your journey of obedience was according to the Bible. So you have completed your journey of obedient faith. You have come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You have been obedient to what He has said. You have been buried in baptism. You have come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, there having your sins washed away by that blood. And you have risen from that watery grave of baptism, having died to self to live in Christ. To do as Romans chapter 6 says, to rise to walk a new life. A life in Jesus Christ. A life following the glorified Lord. Now what? Such a momentous moment. The baptism of a child into Christ, being born again into the family of God, is such a momentous moment. And now what? So much effort has been extended to study and to understand what was needed to do, yet sometimes there is a build-up to obedience that brings us to Christ, and then there is a sort of letdown after we are done, after that high of receiving forgiveness, after that high of receiving salvation. Sometimes there's this, okay, that was great and wonderful, but then the path seems unclear. Now what do I do? Jesus, our Lord, knew that this would happen. And He made preparation for this. And He knew that there would be a need for continued effort by those that aid individuals to Christ, and a continued need for study for those who come to Christ. And in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, as He gives the Great Commission there, just shortly before He ascended back into heaven to sit at the right hand of the throne of God in power, Jesus Christ said, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age." See, He begins with make disciples. That's a little different than the Great Commission we have in Mark chapter 16, where He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Here He says, make disciples. Now, a disciple is someone who has decided to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, I can guarantee you that anybody that is a true disciple of Jesus Christ is going to obey the things that Jesus Christ has set forth for His disciples to do, just as the disciples that Jesus had endeavored to be and to do the things that Jesus Christ wanted them to do. As we look at the 12 in the New Testament, we see that. So make disciples. Generate people, you know, do things that would enable people to understand their need to follow Christ. And creating them a desire through study of God's Word to follow Christ. Make disciples of all nations. When they are disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They'll want to do that. They'll want to obey those commands. That's the first thing. That we could call that the first commission, right? Jesus doesn't stop there, does He? Then He deals with what now? And He says, teach those disciples to observe all things that Christ has commanded. Now, Jesus Christ, God, throughout all the pages of the Bible, never accepted anything less than all. They deserve our all. It is disrespectful to God to give Him anything less than our all. And we can look at the book of Malachi and we can see there that the people weren't giving their all in reference to sacrifices. They were giving the lame and the sick instead of the very best. God always asked for the very best in what people gave. I want the first. I want the best. And in fact, he says when we don't give the best, Malachi said we rob God of what's His. Jesus says, teach them to observe all things I've commanded. And see, if we don't do that, we rob God of what's rightfully His. He deserves all that we are and all that we have to do all that He has asked in this life. With the perfect law of God delivered to us in totality, we do not have an excuse not to. I bet most of us have more than one of these. And I bet if you have a smartphone, you have like 20, right? Because you have all kinds of different versions and you can get those for free. So really, you know, if you have one of these, you are without excuse for not doing it because it's all right here. There's nothing else to be revealed. There's nothing else for you to find. It's all right here and it's just a matter of studying it. Preachers and men that have written commentaries or written books or whatever, they have no special intellect in understanding this book any more than anybody else does. They just determined to sit down and study it. I am no smarter than anyone in this room. No preacher is any smarter. No elder. No one is any smarter by nature. It is simply the fact that they have dedicated themselves to know these things, as every Christian should. So we can know. We are without excuse if we do not. So, I am a Christian. Now what? Well, we need to learn and observe all things that Christ has commanded. Let's think about how we do that this morning. First, you need to continue the study that has brought you to the faith, to a faith that is enabled to save. You have studied to get here. You have studied to reach that point where your faith enables you and drives you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to continue that study. It doesn't stop when you come up out of the water. The study continues on. Conversion is not the finish line. It is where you start the greatest journey of your life. It is the journey in truth, in the truth of God for you. It is a lifelong endeavor to be like the Lord that we have given ourselves to when we are born into God's family. Faith builds with the knowledge of truth. And the more you know and believe the promises of God concerning you as one of His children, the more you will find comfort, the more you will find reassurance in this life. You know, as you look at God's Word and you see these things and you believe these things and you give yourself to the things that are written there, the more you will find comfort and reassurance in them. You look at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, I take care of the birds, I'll take care of you. I clothe the lilies, I'll clothe you. I will meet your needs with one provision, that you seek me first in my kingdom. That's what I want from you. And I will give. You know how much stress there is in our world, in our nation, even among people maybe here this morning? You know how much stress there is over paying the bills? Over having a house, over what clothes we're going to have, all the stresses that come, and yet those stresses can be so alleviated by just trusting God. Now, He's not promising you an Escalade and a 4,000 square foot house. You look at the bird's nests, they're kind of small, right? But they're taken care of. God takes care of them. And it just comes down to the question of, do I really believe God will take care of me? Because if I don't, I'm going to have all this stress on me to make sure I do all these things to get what I think I need to have in this life. And it's just going to create stress and difficulty in life. And it's really because I don't have the faith I need to just believe in the One that spoke the universe into existence and what He can do for me. You know, it is texts like Matthew chapter 6 that gives us the joy that cannot be adequately expressed in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, and the peace that we cannot understand in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. So many seek joy And yet it is only found in the hope of God's truth. So many people seek peace, and it is only found in the knowledge and faith that is in that same truth. They look for it everywhere but where it's found. They buy books at Barnes & Noble or on the iBook store or Amazon or where, whatever you may be using. How to find peace, how to be happy, how to find joy. And yet they let the book that tells them sit on the shelf or the coffee table and collect dust. The more your life changes as you study God's Word, as a result of that truth, the more you become the kind of person that makes an eternal difference in this world. I have found that people that have no purpose, feel like they have no purpose in the world, feel like they're not accomplishing anything in this world, are miserable people. And yet, Christians have the greatest responsibility, the greatest opportunity to have purpose in this life than any people that exist. We have a purpose that does not just have a meaning in this moment, but has a meaning in eternity. There will be people, if you are making efforts as a child of God to bring people to Christ and you are successful in those efforts, you will never know all the good that may come from that. If you convert one person to Jesus Christ over the course of your life, and you die and you are placed in the ground and you return to the dust and your spirit returns to the Father who gave it, you will not be here generations later to see what came as a result of your efforts. For that one person may bring someone else to Christ, and he may be the next Marshall Keeble that baptized 40,000 plus people in his ministry in the time that he preached. And yet you had a hand in that. You had a hand in possibly that, you know, someone brought someone to Christ who brought Marshall Keeble to Christ, right? And they had a hand in 40,000 people obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about what we see. It's about the fact that we're not going to see how great God's Word can affect change as a result of even the smallest of efforts by us. But as we make these changes, we make an eternal difference. You will be a person that personifies the Beatitudes. We memorize those as kids, right? In Bible class, we memorize the Beatitudes. But they got to be more than just something we can recite. They are to be what we are. They are the description of what Christ wants each and every one of us to be. And when we study God's Word and we let that grow in us and we become more and more like that every day, we begin to personify those things in our lives. You are dependent upon God. In all things, you look to Him. You are a person who has the ability to feel sorrow for your sins. I've known people that could sin and it just didn't even faze them. They had no sorrow. They felt no shame before God. They felt no heartache about how they hurt Jesus Christ with their sins. But yet, the person in the Beatitudes is a person that mourns. Mourns because of their undoneness. So we can be sorrowful for when we do fail God. We will be a gentle person of self-control. Not someone flying off the handle, as my mother used to say. I don't really know what that means, but I always get worried about sayings in the pulpit that I don't really know what they mean. Because sometimes things don't always have a good background, or etymology, I guess. Flying off the handle at every little thing, that's not a Christian. Or people of self-control and gentleness, like Jesus. We'll be a person who loves and needs God's Word like food and water. We read Psalm 1 this morning in Bible class, verses 1 through 3. Oh, how I love Your law. We will be someone who shows mercy even to those who do not deserve it. For we have been people who have received mercy that we do not deserve. So much of the Christian life is reciprocal. It is done for me, I do for you. It is I forgive because I'm forgiven. I love because I'm loved by Jesus Christ. If I won't love, He won't love. You know, I won't receive the blessings of His love. If I won't forgive, He won't forgive me. So much reciprocity. I will be a rare and exquisite person of purity in a wretched world of impurity. I will not be someone who is always stirring things up, but instead I will be seeking peace. Be a peacemaker between me and God through redemption, between me and all those that are around me, as much as I am able to do, as Paul says in Romans 12. I will be someone who can endure verbal and physical abuse with strength because my hope is not here. My hope is not in people. My hope is in God. I will personify these things. You will have a kind of love as well that is foreign to much of our world. In a world of horrible selfishness, you will be a person that loves sacrificially, as Jesus Christ loved sacrificially, that He gave Himself for those who did not care, that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5 tells us, Christ died for us. While I was everything He's not, while I was everything that God cannot abide, He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom that kind of love, and yet I want that kind of love in my life. I want it to be something that personifies me. This is your journey. As you come up out of the water of your grave of baptism, this is the journey you're making, the journey of change into our Lord. Yet you will not have any of these things without studying your Bible. You can't just meditate and get it. These things come from knowledge, and from knowledge comes faith, and from faith comes that dedication and willingness to trust God that what He says is right. And therefore, I'm going to do it. It is important that you develop a daily habit of study. Not just reading some texts and checking off, well, I'm a daily Bible reader today, but something deeper than that. Studying the Bible with a goal in mind of knowing and understanding what God has given to us. There are many ways to do this. Many times each person needs to use a method that best fits their personality. I don't believe in cookie cutter stuff because I just know people. I've spent 20 years dealing with people and everybody's got differences. Everybody's a little different than others. And you know, that's just the fact. There were different parts. The Bible even acknowledges that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some are toes, some are fingers, some are hands, some are, you know, whatever part of the body you are, however you are personality-wise. Some people learn better by listening, right? Some people learn better by seeing. Some people, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people learn. But you need to know what your way is and give your whole to it in God's Word. There are some things that we can provide to you. There's a wonderful book written by Brother David Farr called The Beginning of Our Confidence. It is 7 weeks of daily lessons for new Christians. Every day, a new lesson. Bible scriptures for you to look up, some questions for you to think about. One of the wonderful things about this book is that it will help you get into a habit over those weeks of sitting down with your Bible every day. That's a wonderful habit to get into. I wholeheartedly recommend that book. And if you would let Julie know in the office, we'll make certain that you get one so that you can use that in your growth as you begin your Christian life. Also, take advantage of our classes on Sunday and Wednesday. And I'm going to reiterate what Leslie said. Ladies, take advantage of our ladies' class on Tuesday. I tell you what, we got wonderful ladies in that class, and they are studying hard, and they are working hard to understand God's Word. And I know they just finished Esther, and Phyllis has challenged me several times with questions from that class, and I love that. Philippians is going to be a great study as well. So if you're a lady and you're capable of being here on Tuesday morning, do so. I promise you will not be disappointed in what our ladies are doing on those days. But do something. Make sure you engage. But you need to understand that being here and listening to a Bible class, whichever Bible class you may be in, or listening to me preach, it's never going to be enough. You will never get enough from my sermons. You will never get enough from the Bible classes. I don't care. It's no reflection on teachers. They can be the best teachers in the world. It's not going to be enough. You're going to have to engage to study yourself on a daily basis. Make that a lifestyle in your life. Second, not only do we need to study, but we need to be active in the Lord's church. When you come up from that water of great baptism, part of that new walk that you're now engaged in is to be active in the kingdom, the family that you have been born into, to be an active member of that family. This will help you in a number of ways as you begin your Christian life. It's always better to learn through doing. Now, men take this to an extreme, don't we, guys? I don't need to read all those instructions. I'm just going to jump in there with all the screws and parts, and we'll get it worked out. You know, you kind of need somebody that may have read the instructions to be there with you, to help you out. But it's always better when we just get in there and start working and doing. And, you know, you can learn about the Lord's church and its work from those that you're working beside, those that are standing beside you. And there's a lot of good, loving brethren in this congregation and congregations all over the world this morning that are very willing to help you and to help you along, help you learn those things. It will give you the needed purpose in this life as we prepare for the next. You know, I remember when I worked at Kroger, I didn't mind working holidays. I didn't mind working Thanksgiving at Kroger. Because, buddy, I went in there at 8 o'clock on that Thursday morning and they closed about 2. But it was so busy because no one seemed to have prepared for Thanksgiving Day until that morning. It was so busy that it went just like that and I got double time. So I was like, hey, I'll do this. Easy money, goes by quick. Right? What I hated was Wednesday, like 3 weeks after everybody got that first of the month payment, and now they're out of money. No one's buying groceries. They're just trying to, you know, exist on what's left in the cabinets till they get their next paycheck. And no one's coming to Kroger, right? And I got to work 8 hours. And there's nothing to do. That drove me nuts. That just drug out. It just seemed like that was the longest day in history. When you had those kind of days. See, in the Christian life, if you're not doing anything, you're probably not very happy. You know, people that are bored, I found that people that tell me I'm bored with church, they're not doing anything. That's why they're bored. They're just sitting. And that's boring. You don't hear that from people that are working. So, you know, when we engage in the Lord's work, Christian life will not get stale when we're busy in it. When we're busy doing the things that God wants, hard work motivates us. Hard work will make us spiritually strong and make us want more. Remember that all you do for the Lord is remembered by Him and rewarded. Don't ever do anything for the Lord's church so that somebody will stand up here and tell you how wonderful you are. If you're doing that, that's the wrong reason. You're doing what you do because you serve a Lord that loves you and will notice. And He will reward you for your service. Now, some things you can do in the Lord's church to be active is, well, first and foremost of all, be evangelistic. Remember what I talked about a moment ago about reciprocity? Someone handed you the gospel. Someone taught you, worked with you, helped you understand what you needed to do. Now it's your turn. You have the knowledge. You have the ability to tell somebody when they ask, what must I do to be saved? You have the knowledge to be able to tell them that. Now, there may be questions that people have that have become difficult questions because of the religious nature of our world today, that people have done a lot of different things, and you might need some help in those areas, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. I can't tell you how many times in Bible studies I say, I don't know. But this does. And you know, if I can't find it right now, let me study my Bible. You study your Bible, and we'll get back together, and we'll see what it says. Folks, people will respect that. If you just throw some answer out there out of ignorance, they're going to see right through that and go, that person is a fraud. Plus, you're going to have to come back and say, whoop, I was wrong. Sorry. That's not going to look too good either. Just look to God's Word. Now you have a chance to give that to someone else. You can do that in many ways. You can invite someone to service. You can talk to people about the Bible. You do not have to have all those answers, but seek those Scriptures. Seek those answers in the Scriptures. You cannot imagine how good it feels to help someone come to Christ. Oh, if you just worked and did it once, I doubt you'd ever have to be asked again. I was blessed to help the first person that I helped come to Christ when I was 14 years old, and it lit a fire under me. I'd already decided I didn't want to be poor like preachers. I grew up as a preacher's kid. I said, I don't want to be poor. I want to do something else. That changed my mind in many ways. Because there's just nothing better to know. When you look at somebody and you know that not only have you helped them in this life, but you've helped them get on the path to heaven. That's a wonderful feeling. As Jude says, we've snatched them out of the fire, haven't we? You're a hero. A spiritual hero to someone, having helped them be saved in Jesus Christ. It'll change you. Folks, over 99% of the people in this world are lost. They need the gospel. Over 99%, 7 billion people. Less than 1% are available to give that gospel to them. You cannot afford to sit in a pew. They cannot afford for you to do it either. So many go the broad way because no one ever told them that there was another route that went to another place. A narrow way that led to eternal life. So not only be evangelistic, but also be kind and compassionate. Help those in need. Not in order to get a Bible study. Please do not do your kind deeds for an ulterior purpose other than compassion and love. If you're only out there doing nice things for people because you think you might be able to get a Bible study or be able to get them to come to church, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Jesus said the reason why you do something is as important as what you do. Do it out of love. That may be a product, but that's not our reason for doing it. It's because we have love and compassion on people. As Jesus had love and compassion on people. When it says that He saw their sick and He had compassion and He healed them all. Didn't matter whether they believed, didn't matter whether they wanted to hear what He had to say. He was compassionate. It was about Him and His feelings. And He showed that, and we need to show that. There will always be sick people. Jesus Himself said that there would always be poor people when they criticized Mary for anointing Him. There are always the widows and orphans that James tells us that should be visited in order for us to have pure and undefiled religion. Another way that you can serve is to build up your brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ by that. Ephesians repeatedly calls for us to build one another up as the spiritual house of God. I'm not just talking about making a person feel better when they're down. I'm talking about building people up spiritually. Making them stronger as Christians. Making them stronger as children of God. Giving them the strength and the knowledge to overcome the difficulties that this life will most assuredly throw at them. There are always brethren with these needs. And you can also, in serving in the Lord's church today, you can serve in our worship services. Multiply your talents. Offer the invitation. Let me tell you what, it's never easy that first time. I wore a red shirt the first time I preached, and from what I understand, my ears were matching my shirt. And I read 12 pages in 7 minutes. You think I'm fast today? I had nothing on. When I got to 20 minutes, I thought I was finally a preacher. That took like 18 pages to get there. I have an 18-page sermon today. We're having lunch here at the building. We'll just go ahead and go through Sunday night too. We'll just finish up sometime around 8 o'clock tonight. Doesn't work anymore. But, you know, it's not always easy. Everything you do first time's hard. Offer an invitation on Wednesday night. Serve on the table during the Lord's Memorial Supper. Lead public prayers. Lead singing if you have that talent. help one of our deacons in their areas of responsibility that you have the capability of contributing to. And they, I understand that they are planning another jobs day at some point in the future. You know, make sure you take advantage of that. Look at what's out there that you have the talent to help with. And say, hey, brother, I want to help you out. Deacons are not just put there to do all the work. They're put there to get other people to help them do the work that needs to be done in their areas. We are also working on right now serving in the Lord's Church videos that will be on our website very soon. It will have some helpful advice and some things about doing these things that you can watch and you can understand. It'll also have a section after it talks about why we do these things and how to do them. It'll have a section specifically about carry, how we do it here. Because, you know, people do their worship services a little different in the way that they may put things in place. But we'll talk about how we do it here and who you need to talk to and things of that nature as you go through these things. But we'll have ones on presenting a devotional invitation, presiding over the Lord's Supper, public prayer, waiting on the table, and more are coming. We'll talk about how to baptize someone. A lot of fathers have the great blessing of baptizing their children. And, you know, that might be something to watch and to understand how you are to do that. There is a way to do that. And some teaching regarding leading the singing, I will not be doing that video. I'll have to get some man that has the ability to teach that one. How to conduct a simple Bible study. And then, you know, gentlemen, young Christians, old Christians, it doesn't really matter where you're at on the growth scale. January 24th of next year and 25th, we're going to have a Preach the Word workshop. We're going to talk about preaching from God's Word. All next year is dedicated to just preaching from God's Word. We're going to have wonderful men come in and work with us on the book of 1 John. Give us some ideas about how to teach and preach. We're going to have David Farr and Brother Eddie Kraft and Brother Wesley Simon and Brother Stephen Guy and Mike Height and our own Andy Waters to help us in those areas. There's a lot of other things. Lots of work. The Lord stated that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, right? There's a lot of things to do. That's why we all need to be doing it. And if you're a new Christian, there's a lot of places for you in the Lord's church. Find them. Don't wait for somebody to come ask you. You go find them. Be dedicated to the Lord's work. Always abounding in it, as 1 Corinthians 15 says. If you are a new Christian, God bless you. Continue in the devotion to obeying God and His Word that has brought you this far. Maybe you're a Christian that has not progressed as you need it. Maybe it's been a while since you've been baptized. Maybe it's been decades. And we talked about this in Christian Growth last week. Maybe it's been a while and you've not progressed as you needed and you have need to be restart anew in your Christian walk with Christ. All these things discussed are for everybody. Just trying to help our young Christians know what they can do to help fulfill that second commission there in Matthew chapter 28, but every one of us needs to be doing all these things. If you're not, maybe you need to dedicate yourself today to do those things. God wants you. We want to be wanted, don't we? We want people to like us. It's an amazing thought to me that God wants me. How do I respond to that? Not only does God want me, but He needs me to serve His purposes in this world. But you must desire that with all your heart and give yourself wholly to it in order to please Him. You must observe all things that Jesus Christ has commanded. This morning, if you haven't made that decision to be a child of God, and you understand what you need to do, maybe you've been studying, maybe you've been studying with someone, or maybe you've been reading your Bible, maybe you've been attending services and you have come to understand what you need to do, oh, do so today. Don't wait another moment, for we are not promised a day, a minute, or an hour. Do so today and begin this journey that we've talked about this morning yourself as you rise this morning from this watery grave, having been born again into the family of God. You can do that by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as the Son of God and being buried in that watery grave, and having your sins washed away, rising to begin that great journey to be like Him. If you have a desire for that, but maybe you haven't had the opportunity to study yet, maybe you don't understand exactly what I'm saying when I say those things, that's all right too. But don't leave here without asking someone in this auditorium, how can I find out more? For we have a lot of ways in which you can. You can in the privacy of your own home. You can by sitting down with one of us. We just want to help. You get to heaven with us. This morning, if you're a child of God, and maybe you haven't been dedicated as you should to these things, you haven't been dedicated in your life to observing all things that Christ has commanded, then rededicate now. Give yourself to Christ wholly. Repent of those of your times of laziness and be diligent. If you need our assistance in some way, you need our prayers, you need to repent of public sin, we want to help you with that as well. If you have a spiritual need this morning, we hope and pray that you will come. As together we stand and as we sing.